Church Covenant. We're in the last paragraph. We'll finish up next week. But the last paragraph says, "We moreover engage that when we remove from this place, we will as soon as possible unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's Word." This part of the covenant deals with church members moving to another area where they can no longer, where it's no longer possible for them to fulfill the obligations of the covenant. They can no longer, because of distance, fulfill their obligations as a church member. I know some do not have a problem with it. I do not believe in long-distance membership. I don't believe that we find it in the Word of God. I don't believe you can fulfill your obligations as a member. We do know that people do move, and God does move people. We realize that. Realize sometimes people move without God moving them. And then, of course, there are times when it's God's will for someone to go somewhere else. And when that happens, if that were to happen to any one of us, we pledge to unite with a church of like faith, where we can faithfully carry out the Spirit and the obligations laid down in the Word of God, and also laid down in the church covenant. As long as one is a member of a body of Christ, they are obligated. And they are held accountable to that body. And the obligations of the church covenant cannot be properly carried out from far, far away. And at the same time, the distance of miles does not release one from their obligations. In light of all that, we moreover engage, and when we move from this place, we will as soon as possible unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's Word. So this is a pledge. I believe it's a pledge to only move to places where our church membership can be scripturally transferred. That's part of this pledge. Paul, if you turn to the book of Acts, chapter 9, Paul, after he was saved and baptized, I believe he was baptized into the church of Damascus. You remember he was on his way to Damascus to arrest people in that area. And in verse 18, immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and rose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days. Again, if he was baptized, he had to be baptized into a church. He had to be baptized by a church. He had to be baptized into a church. He's in Damascus. Then was Saul certain days. Ended up being a couple years. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were located at Damascus. So I believe that Saul was baptized into the church of Damascus. Saul was a member of that church. A couple years later, Saul would go to Jerusalem. Notice in verse 26 of Acts chapter 9. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he determined to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him, with good reason. and believed not that he was a disciple. They did not just take his word that he was a disciple because of his past history. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And Barnabas testified on Saul's behalf. Barnabas, of course, was a well-respected, a well-trusted man by the church of Jerusalem. And he declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and what he had, that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. He was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. That is, he was added to that church. He went from Damascus to the church in Jerusalem. And then we'll not turn there to save time, but you go to Acts chapter 13, and you see that he would join the church in Antioch. And it was from there that he was sent out as a missionary. So he went from the church in Damascus to the church in Jerusalem. Sister churches, churches of like faith, and from the church of Jerusalem to the church of Antioch. And because it is such a great privilege, and because it is a blessing to be a member of the kind of church that Jesus Christ organized during his earthly ministry, one ought to always seek to be a member where they can faithfully carry out the spirit and the obligations of Scripture, where they can faithfully carry out the obligations of the church covenant. Now, we know that there are privileges, there are blessings, and there are opportunities in being a member of one of the Lord's churches that those outside of the church never experience. We ought never to want to be outside of the church or to be in a position where perhaps we are a member but we cannot faithfully carry out our duties because of distance. So this part of the covenant states the importance of membership in one of the Lord's churches. It's so important that if the situation arises where we move, we make a pledge that we will seek to be united as soon as possible with a church of like faith where we can carry out the Spirit and the obligations of the covenant. And one should give you six reasons why one should always seek to be a member where they can be faithful. One is because the Lord's church is God's chosen place. It is God's chosen place, which simply means there's no other place like it. Just as God had a fixed and settled place in the Old Testament where he would meet with the Jewish people, the tabernacle later on would be the temple. But all through the book of Deuteronomy, notice, we'll just read a couple and then we'll stop. There's probably 20, 25, 30. But in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 11, there's a common statement that you see throughout the book of Deuteronomy. In verse 11, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Verse 14, but in the place which the Lord shall choose, in the place which the Lord shall choose. Verse 18, but thou must eat them before the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. Verse 26, only the holy things which thou hast and thy vows thou shalt take and go unto the place which the Lord God shall choose. And you can go all through the book of Deuteronomy and you see that over and over and over again. The point is, God has a place. God has a place. God has a place, and it is a chosen. It is a God-chosen place. And the best place that I can be is in that chosen place. Whatever the other circumstances might be does not change this fact that I need to be in God's chosen place. And there's no other place. Just like the tabernacle was God's chosen place, the temple was God's chosen place, the church is God's chosen place. There is no other place on the face of the earth where one can receive scriptural baptism. There is no other place. You can only receive scriptural baptism in one place, and that is the Lord's church. There is no other place where you can scripturally observe the Lord's Supper. No other place. There's only one place. That is the Lord's churches. The Lord has His chosen place to carry out His work upon the earth. And in the midst of all the religious chaos, the Lord has a chosen place. He has a chosen place where He is worshipped. In the midst of all the confusion, the Lord has a chosen place through which His people can serve Him faithfully. And that chosen place is one of His churches. So wherever I go, it ought to be my deepest concern that in that location there be one of the Lord's chosen places where I can unite and faithfully carry out my obligations as a church member. So it ought to concern us wherever we go. The first question, the very first question ought to be, is there one of the Lord's churches there? That should be the first thing. It's not, is there jobs there? Is there work there? That's not the question. The very first question is there one of the Lord's churches? And then, of course, we'll get into this next week, but you've got to take it further than that. Is it the Lord's will for me to join? So just because there's one of the Lord's churches there doesn't mean that it's the Lord's will for you to join there. But that ought to be our first concern. Does the Lord have a chosen place there? And once we move, if there's a distance of miles, read through the covenant. There are things in the covenant you cannot do. You cannot do separated by distance. And it's been the practice of Baptist churches. I'm talking about true Baptist churches. It's been the practice of true Baptist churches through the years of recently, maybe the last 50 years, where as long as they send their tithe, it'll be all right. That's only a small portion. That sounds an awful lot like Catholicism to me. That's what it sounds like to me. Just send your tithe and you can be a member. It doesn't work that way. And so we pledge that we will find a church of like faith where we can scripturally transfer our membership. I'll be honest with you. If I lived 8 hours from church, I would. If I had to get up Saturday and drive the 8 hours to be there, that's what I'd do. But even then, you still would not be able to fulfill all your obligations being that far away. Secondly, we should always be united with one of the Lord's churches because the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ are the dwelling places of God. Paul referred to the church at Ephesus as the habitation or the occupancy of God through the Holy Spirit. Now, I realize that God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. There is no place that God isn't. But there is a special administrative work of the Holy Spirit in the Lord's churches that exist nowhere else in all the world. And that is why we ought to always seek to be connected, to be united with such a church, because this presence of the Holy Spirit cannot be experienced anywhere else. And it is in the Lord's churches that God meets with his people in a special way. And just attending that church, God doesn't meet with the visitors like he meets with the members. It's different. He meets with his church. John chapter 20 is a good example. The night he met with the 11. So every church member ought to always desire to be united to such a place where they can meet with the Lord every Lord's day and every time the church doors are open. Thirdly, one should always seek to be united with one of the Lord's churches, because the churches of Lord Jesus Christ are the places where God carries out his work. That doesn't mean that God isn't doing anything anywhere else. It means that God has his headquarters where he carries out his work. It means there is a special place that has authority to carry out his work. There is a special place that has a responsibility to carry out his work, and that place is the Lord's church. The Lord's church has the authority and the responsibility to preach the gospel. They have the authority and they have the responsibility to baptize. They have the authority and the responsibility to teach the observance of all things whatsoever the Lord hath commanded you. That commission is given not to individuals. It's not given to some convention. It's not given to some board. It's not given to some association. It's not given to some fellowship. It's given to the Lord's churches. So we ought to always seek to be in that place, to be united to that place where the Lord carries out his work, because it is a church that has all the authority that you'll ever need to carry out the work. We don't need any more authority than we have. We have all the authority we need. We have authority from God. You don't need any more authority than that. So it's not that we lack authority. We have all the authority we'll ever need to face any problem. We have all the power. We have the Holy Spirit power. We have all the means. God has provided all the means. I don't care how big a church is, how small a church is. Again, one church does not have more authority than another church. They all have authority from God. And they all have God-given means whereby they can serve the Lord faithfully in the area that God has placed them. And that ought to always be our concern. If I'm in a different area, I can no longer be a member of Home Baptist Church and faithfully fulfill my obligations, then my first concern ought to be, I have to find a Lord's church that I can be a member of, that can be a blessing to me, and that I can be a blessing to them, and that I can faithfully serve the Lord. People may say, well, but I don't want to join another church. But you see, you can't faithfully carry out your duties. So it becomes your obligation. It becomes your responsibility to be in a place where you can faithfully fulfill those obligations. And again, it just can't be any church of the Lord. It has to be one that the Lord adds you to, and therefore, we need to always pray that God would lead us to that place. One should always seek to be united with one of the Lord's churches, because the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ are the places where Christ, or where God, receives glory. Ephesians 3, verse 21 makes that very, very clear. That does not mean that a church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only place where God can be glorified. God can be glorified anywhere. God is glorified, in a sense, in hell. God always gets the glory. But there is a special place. There is a special place, I believe, that is the instrument that God uses to bring glory to himself upon earth. And that place is the Lord's church. To give glory means to give praise. It means to give honor. It means to exalt the Lord, to show forth his greatness, to draw attention to him. And the best place to do that is in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is a glory that the Lord receives in his churches that is nowhere else. It's not the only place he receives glory. I've heard it preached through the years that you can't possibly glorify God in any way anywhere else. I don't believe that. But I do believe that there is a glory that the Lord only receives in his church. He will not receive it anywhere else. It is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is where a child of God can use their gifts and the abilities that God has given them to the honor and glory of the Lord. That's what Matthew 5, verses 15 and 16 teaches us. To put our light on a candlestick, that we might, by our good works, bring glory to God and to show forth that glory for all that are in the house. So it's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ where we are to put our light in order to bring glory to God. And for this reason, we pledge that when we remove from this place, we will as soon as possible unite with another church where we can faithfully carry out our obligations, where we can faithfully serve the Lord. Fifthly, one should always seek to be united with one of the Lord's churches because the churches of the Lord are the pillars and the ground of truth. That's what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, that the church is the pillar, the support, the upholder of the truth. And the church is the ground of the truth. That is, that's the place where God has deposited his truth. So the church is the depository and the keeper of the truth. And therefore it is called the pillar and ground of truth. It is God's school for God's people. Now people will say all the time, well, I can study the Word of God on my own and God will show me things. Yes, he will. And yes, you can. You can study the Scriptures on your own at home and God will show you some things. But there are certain truths that you will learn nowhere other than the Lord's church. There are truths that God has reserved for those that are in his church. And the best place to learn any truth and to be grounded in that truth is in God's school, which again is his churches. In the Lord's churches, there is instruction. It's the pillar and ground of truth. And it is there that God's people find instruction. It is there we find direction for living upon this earth. Again, we've already seen it is the habitation of God in the world through the person of the Holy Spirit. And it is the place that the Holy Spirit speaks the message of God and teaches people the truth. How many times people have come into one of the Lord's churches, I've heard it many, many times, and they will say, I've been going to church all my life, and I never heard that. That's true. That's true. They have said, I have learned more in an hour than I learned in 20 years, but then you never see them again. Isn't that amazing? But there's truth to that. Because there are things that you see, there are things that are preached in the Lord's church that are not preached anywhere else. The world is a stranger to these truths. Notice in John chapter 14, Jesus is meeting with the apostles, which of course were constituted the first church. And he's talking with them here in John 13 through 16. But in John chapter 14, speaking to the church, in verse 16 and 17, he says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, that applies to all saved people. All saved people have the Spirit of God abiding in them, and the Spirit of God does abide in us as a comforter. But the Lord here is not speaking to all saved people. He's speaking to his church. So there is a special way that this is true just for the church. He says again that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive, the Spirit of truth, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now the shall be in you, the Spirit of God was already in them individually, was already there individually. He was in saved individuals individually in the Old Testament. But when he says, and shall be in you, he's looking forward to the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God would come down upon the church. He's talking about a church relationship. And the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth. And then notice in verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you, the church, all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. You only find that in the Lord's church. In John 16 and verse 13, howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. And notice it does not say, as we pointed out before, he shall guide you unto all truth. Into all truth. There's a big difference. He shall guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. I'm telling you, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, all the churches of Lord Jesus Christ are God's school for God's people. It is a special dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit dwells there to teach truth. Notice in Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. He gave these things to the church. And he did so for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We mature spiritually as a member of one of the Lord's churches. That is, if we follow the Lord's leading, we will mature and we will grow. But if we get outside of the Lord's church, people can forget what they once knew. We've all done that, whether it be spiritual things or worldly things. How many times somebody tells us something and we'd forgotten all about it, but then we say, I knew that once. I remember, I knew that. That's true about spiritual things also. There are people, they've gotten away from the church, and they'll eventually come to a point and say, well, I knew that once. Yeah, knowing it once and knowing it now is two different things. Two entirely different things. So we ought to always seek out one of the Lord's churches because it's God's school. There is no better school than one of the Lord's churches. And outside of the church, one is not under the God-given direction of the church. So we ought to always seek that place. Wherever we are, wherever God's providence takes us, we ought to always seek that place, God's school, that place where we can learn. Not just, but we ought to seek it to be united to it, where we can be a blessing to it, where we can contribute to it. And then sixthly, we should always seek to be united with one of the Lord's churches, because in the Lord's churches, there is a fellowship with people of like faith. You can go to a strange place where you do not know anybody, and you can find a church of like faith, you can find a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and immediately have sweet fellowship as if you've known the people for years. There is a fellowship to be found in the Lord's churches. And for those who believe and those who hold to the truth of God, we are strangers and we are aliens in this world. And the more we believe and the more we hold to the truths of God, the more alienated we become from this world. And the stranger this world becomes to us. But there are places, God's chosen places, where those who believe the truth, where those who love the truth, can find fellowship with God's people, where they can find mutual support and togetherness. Now, there is a sense in which you can have some degree of fellowship with any saved person, not on a church level, but on a personal level. But it's limited. It's limited. It's limited to what you agree on. But in a church of like faith, there's little limits to the fellowship that we can have. We read of this fellowship in Acts chapter 2 in verse 42 when the Lord added to the church. And they continued in the fellowship, in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Fellowship continued. So there is a place where you and I, as a child of God, can have fellowship with God's people. Now, if I'm a member of a particular church, and God moves me to another place, I need fellowship. And the place to find that fellowship is again to be a part of the Lord's church. So for all of these reasons, and there we could think of many more, we're to always seek that special place. That special place, that special chosen place of God. Because you see, membership in one of the Lord's churches is a way of life. You read Acts 19 or Acts 9, when Saul went to Damascus. Church membership was a way of life to those people. He was looking to persecute a people who were of that way, it says, who were of a particular way. So church membership is a way of life. It's something that we live. And we should never be content to have our names on a church roll and not be able to, for whatever reason, to make it a way of life. It should always be a way of life. And again, that's one of many reasons that I do not believe in long-distance church relationship. It is a way of life. Our church membership, not just our salvation, but our church membership is a way of life. And I am obligated. I am obligated as a member of one of the Lord's churches to use my time for that church. I'm obligated to do that. I am obligated to use my talents in that church. I am obligated to be present in that church. I'm obligated to be an influence. This is true of all of us as members. We're obligated to be an influence in the church, to be a spiritual influence. And we're obligated to use our means, whatever means God has given us, we're obligated to use our means to support the work of the Lord. And if Miles makes this impossible, that's when I pledge, that's when we all pledge, to as soon as possible unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. This is to be done so that we can be a blessing to a body of Christ. The Lord has bodies of Christ all over. And we ought to, if we must move, or if the Lord moves us somewhere else, and again, I believe that the Lord will move you where there is a church that you can join. If there is not one, you're going to have a hard time convincing me that the Lord's moving it, that it's the Lord's will for you to move. To me, that goes against Scripture. It goes against everything the Lord tells us about our church obligations. Now realize, there are things that can happen that we do not necessarily have the answers for. We just leave that in the Lord's hands. You take an elderly person, their family lives 2,000 miles away. They need care, so the family moves that elderly person 2,000 miles away, or however many miles, to take care of them. That's a different case. That's a different situation entirely. And they may never be able to go to church. The Lord knows all about that. We leave all of that with the Lord. We don't have all the answers on every single situation. In those cases, we just leave it with the Lord. And a church in those cases had better be cautious. You had better be cautious. Not be too quick to discipline someone and be unfair. And so there are situations, we realize that. But for the most part, people move of their own free will. They move because they choose to move. And in those cases, I believe if they move somewhere where there isn't one of the Lord's churches, they need to be disciplined. They have forsaken the church. They have forsaken the church. If they join a church that is not of like faith, that you can't grant a letter to, they've got to be disciplined. Got to be. And if they just take their sweet time, somewhere along the line, discipline has got to take place. So this is important. This is an important part of the covenant. Next week we'll look at, not only should we seek a true church, but it has to be the Lord's will. The Lord has to add us to that church. And that also, of course, is of extreme importance. Brother Jim, would you come?